Gary Haynes. He is an owner and farmer of the Haynes Farms in Mason. Gary, how are you?
Hey, very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Well, the last time we talked to you, I think it was 3 weeks, a month ago, and you kind of gave us an update of what was going on. The weather has been crazy. It's been hot. It's been raining. It's been dry. Where are you with your crops? Tell us how you're doing.
Well, we've gone through a period of probably 6 to 7 weeks of extreme heat and no rain. So we were dusty dry. In fact, the crops were suffering extremely. Well, that changed. We had a record rainfall. Lastly, in about a two-night period, about 36 hours, we got 12 inches of water. The rest of the farm, the whole farm got coverage. Most of it got between 7 and 8 inches of water. Excessive rainfall, very, very beneficial to the crops. So even though we drowned out probably 250 acres, the rest of the crops took the water very well at this maturity. So things are looking much, much better than when I talked to you, and we will have a harvest. The later crops, we're watching the calendar and the thermometer because we traditionally get a frost in the first part of October. Some of our crops are not mature enough. So we're kind of keeping an eye on it, but very, very much improved since we talked to you last.
Well, the corn where I live out in the Williamston area is just sprouted up unbelievably high. Tell me about your crops. What are you growing and what looks good and what size crop do you expect to have? Average, more than average?
Well, I could say anytime I get the weather turns it around. But no, I think we'll have an adequate production, far less than last year, which was optimum. But the prices is improved to reflect the smaller supply. Again, we're watching the financials overnight, and they're just hammering our prices this morning. So whatever I tell you 2-3 hours later, things change. But we're looking pretty good as far as our yield plus our price looks to be as good a year as last year.
Wheat and soybean, what are they going for price per bushel?
Our wheat crop, again, that's in the bin, and it was phenomenal. We yielded over 100 bushel to acre, which is above average. And that price, we averaged in that 820 to 880, which is just about double our traditional 10-year yield. But, again, the world demand is fairly good. We've got plenty of world supply of wheat. Corn and soybeans are short. We're living on tens production right now. We always use last year's grain to live this year. So we'll be close to running out of that record low supplies going into the 11 year. So it's critical. Beans are running right around that $13 to $14 range. They don't seem to get out of that. So we're looking at very, very profitable prices and frustration because we want to, when we get a good price, something we can wait 20 years for, we certainly want the bushels to sell into that price.
What's the percentage of your crops that stay in Michigan, that stay in the United States, that may get shipped overseas?
Well, you take the corn crop, for instance. We run some of it through ethanol. That ethanol is made into liquid, and then the sweetener is corn sweetener, which is high fructose corn syrup. And then there's several other minor products, and then there's 18 pounds of dried distiller's grain, which is food. It's food for cattle. It's food for people. It's food. So you call it cornmeal. So a lot of that's being very attractive to the European market and to China. So and Indonesia and Japan and all those. But basically, soybeans are separated into soybean meal and the oil. And as far as tracking what goes out, I would say 40% of our production is exported. But that's the whole picture, not just. I mean, I can't trace exactly where my crop goes, but we bring a lot of money this year into the Michigan economy because when I export to Canada soybean meal, that money comes in and then is circulated basically seven times. We call it the multiple, so that we create a lot of activity. When we have a good farm year, Michigan has an improved economy.
Gary, what is the late soil, or excuse me, the late crops that will come in October? What is that?
Again, we were delayed planting in April. We had a record 9.5 inches in April of rain. We never touched our fields until the May, and then we were rained off in May. So what we'd have finished up by the 8th or 10th of May, we planted in June. So we dialed down our maturities. I mean, you can plant 100-day corn or a 90-day corn. So we dialed down our maturities, but we still haven't had the growing conditions to get them physiologically mature. Some of our corn has just tousled at 60 days, the black layer. Now, black layer is when it won't be hurt by the cold weather. So right now, corn and soybeans are my crops. There's vegetables out there. They're harvesting now. Our sweet corn just came in. Very, very good-looking crop, but a lot of the low grounds were flooded out. Radishes and onions and stuff.
What has the volatility, or I should say the roller coaster ride of the price of gas, done for the farmer here in Michigan?
Well, basically 50% of my corn crop is natural gas. That's the plant food that we get nitrogen from. Okay, so 50% of my corn crop is based on the price of natural gas. When I see these crude oil and natural gas falling, that only encourages our inputs. That's the input side of my production. So it's a welcome sign. We are directly impounded by the price of crude oil. However, I'm selling into the fuel business with ethanol. So, you know, it's a balancing act of yes, I want to sell ethanol and see that price, you know, profitable, but also at the time my inputs are far. I mean, my cost per acre on a acre of corn is $430 per acre. A lot of that's fuel. Okay, so I have to have $3.50 an acre to make money on corn, and corn right now is close to $7. So we're doing rather well, but this isn't a typical year. This is just another year, which we we get used to volatility actually. So
all right, Gary, and finally, the last time we talked, you had told me that one of the things that has hurt the farmer is the lack of infrastructure for the railroad. That you don't use that. What happened there? Tell me what it was when it was working out the best and where it is now.
Well, as an automotive, metropolis. I mean, we made a lot of money in automotive in the years. We were bringing steel and shipping cars out automotive. But with the decline of the automobile industry, agriculture apparently wasn't enough to improve infrastructure. So these the small rails from like Charlotte and Rive Junction and Mason have deteriorated to the point we can't use them. The speed limit on them is 10 miles an hour. You can't get anywhere. I mean, what I'm looking at is if we can improve that infrastructure, we can take these large trucks that we use and take them off the road and use the rail to get product from field to destination. So I just think it's poor business not to improve our rail system.
Has there been any movement in improving that?
Yes. Yes, the Dowding industry in Eaton Rapids, which makes generators for windmills and eventually will make the blades for windmills, they're talking about putting a rail system in Eaton Rapids, and that's where we rent our grain storage, and I would try to get on the rail with that. So, yes, I see activity. That's a federal project. So you tell me how the Fed's doing, and then I'll tell you where this is. But we're very cognizant of interest rates and the financial situation. I watched that since 4:30 this morning because our farm is like any other business. We run on credit. So it's a trying time. We keep our eye on every aspect of our business. So.
Gary Haynes is the owner and farmer of Haynes Farms out in Mason. Thanks so much, Gary.
Hey, stay well. Thank you.